Certainly. Alfred Vogel, a very accomplished gentleman. He was born in 1902. He passed away in 1996 at the age of 94. And he died of old age, which is very rare nowadays, isn't it? very nice to see. He passed away 1 year before I joined the company, so personally I never met him, but there are people in our company that knew him quite well, and they all essentially say the same thing. He was a very humble, soft-spoken gentleman who cared more about people than he did about fame or money. And he espoused the view that nature provides us with everything we need to heal oneself. And so, he did so many things in his lifetime. When he was very young, in his mid-20s, he started a health food store in Basel, Switzerland. And shortly after that, he went into the publication business. He started to print a periodical called Das Neue Leben, which translates to the new life. And then in 1937, and this went on until 1956, he ran a health clinic in Teufen. This is a beautiful little village on the side of a mountain. I've visited that place twice now in my life, and it's just breathtaking. And there he did research, and he developed his fresh plant remedies, and he also saw patients. Then in 1952, he wrote his big book, Der Kleine Doktor, which translates to the Nature Doctor. That got translated into 12 languages. And from there, he went on a huge journey around the world. He traveled extensively through North, Central, and South America. And in 1952, he got a chance to meet with Ben Black Elk, who was the head chief of the Sioux tribe in South Dakota. There, he was shown the traditional use of echinacea by the Aboriginal people. And as a parting gift, Ben Black Elk gifted Alfred a bag of echinacea seeds, which he took back to Switzerland. He started to propagate and turn it into the beautiful harvest of echinacea plants, which our seeds today, our products, our echinacea today can be traced back to the early 50s. Quite an amazing thing. And then he traveled through Africa, and when he was in South Africa, he bought some land in Namibia, where we've been growing devil's claw for many decades now. He traveled through New Zealand, Australia, Tasmania. 1982, you got to remember, he's a lay healer. He's we call him Dr. Vogel because he was bestowed with an honorary degree from UCLA in 1952, and but what was truly amazing, in 1982, he received a very prestigious award called the Price Needs Award for German Naturopathic, from the German Naturopathic Society. This is an award that's normally given to allopathic doctors for their contribution in complementary medicine. So that was something very significant. And then in 1984, he got an honorary member of the Swiss Society for Empirical Medicine. And then in 1996, he passed away. But like I say, he was a lay healer. He learned a lot through his father and his grandparents, who were herbalists. And then he studied physiology, anatomy, biochemistry on his own. He was truly a self-made man.
It's fascinating. What are some of the things that you can draw from his work? Like how can we implement certain aspects of herbalism to work with nature to strengthen our immune systems or keep our digestion going, maybe even help with the elimination, all the things that we don't need anymore?
Yes, that's a huge topic. As far as digestion goes, you're right. He insisted that we eat fresh fruits and vegetables, or preferably a salad, almost if you can with each meal. And also important was chewing. He was a big proponent of thorough mastication. So I never met the man, but people in our company, we still laugh about how they'd be eating a salad, and he would say, "Well, slow down, young man. You must chew your food. You must thoroughly masticate it." So he also believed in the importance of slowing down when eating, because it's an important process. Here, you know, in the West, we tend to rush through our meals. I'm guilty of this as well. But he was big into slowing down and really taking eating nourishment very seriously as a very important health practice. Now, as far as immunity goes, I'd like to just talk about a couple developments that have been in the media a lot lately. There was actually a report done from McMaster University, which is in my hometown, Hamilton, Ontario, and this report is entitled When Antibiotics Fail. And so what they're finding, they're crunching the numbers that they're gathering from all the different hospitals, and what they're finding is that 26% of the infections are antibiotic resistant now. And this is really kind of scary. They're predicting this number will go up to 40% by the year 2050. So this is actually the biggest threat to humanity right now, even before global warming. They're saying this poses the most imminent threat. And so, and they're saying things like elective operations such as knee and hip replacements or even organ transplants, they're going to have to think about it twice before doing these things, just because if those numbers keep going up, operations will become an extremely dangerous thing. And I'm going to use a quote by a famous biochemist, Louis Pasteur. When he was addressing a group of a speech, he started by saying, "Gentlemen, it is the microbes who will have the last word." Kind of an foreshadow of what's going on right now in our industrial world. And also, the use of antibiotics is so rampant, and it's been going on for decades in the cattle, dairy, also aquaculture or fish farming. So what's happening is antibiotics are going out into the environment, and also worth noting is bacteria comes to us from the environment. So the bacteria and the antibiotics, they're basically cohabitating in the environment, and the bacteria, as they're evolving, are becoming superbugs, resistant to any type of antibiotic use. So we're living in kind of tricky times, and so this makes it even more powerful, the whole point about host defense, which is our immunity. And so there's essentially two lines of defense. There's a physical line of defense, so that'd be things like our stomach, skin, mucous membranes, which is found in the nose and the sinuses, back of the throat, and then the immune system itself. And there's two groups of people that are especially challenged in this regard. That would be children, because they just don't have that acquired immunity as adults do. And then the other group are high-risk adults, so smokers, people who don't manage their stress very well, people who don't sleep very well, people who don't practice good hygiene. And so these are all factors that are all kind of coming together. And as far as nutrition goes, Alfred Vogel talks about the importance of eating fresh fruits and vegetables as much as one can. And the reason for that, science proves, is that we need our antioxidants. And antioxidants almost always comes from fresh fruits and vegetables. Some of them are mineral-based. So that would be vitamins A, C, and E. And vitamin A, you could also find that in its precursor form, beta-carotene. This helps to keep our physical line of defense, our mucous membranes, strong and robust. Vitamin C in high doses, that's antiviral, it boosts the immune system. People can take that orally. Most of the research has been done on intravenous use, studies going back to the 50s. And then, of course, zinc. I think most people are familiar with zinc for the immune system. It's used as in a lozenge form for sore throat. Selenium, very critical mineral, works together with other antioxidants. And as far as digestion goes, fermented foods, it's a huge buzzword now. These weak acids, which are found in a healthy intestinal tract, actually helps our immunity, which a lot of immunity is found in the intestinal tract. So it's very important to keep one's digestive system working optimally.
Don, can you give us some ideas about fermented foods and how to use them on a daily basis?
Well, some people are getting into making fermented foods at home. Yogurt, kefir, kombucha is very popular. These all contain what biochemists refer to as weak acids. And these acids are actually found in a healthy intestinal tract, especially the colon. So when we're under stress, for example, when we drink too much coffee, when we eat too much processed food, especially sugary ones, these things challenge are those weak acids. And what happens is the pH in our intestinal tract will actually be compromised. It'll actually change ever so lightly, but enough to have a negative effect on the friendly flora. And Vogel recognized this years ago. He came up with he took an old Swiss remedy, which is fermented whey, and he modernized it. He took out the whey, he took out the casein, and he espoused the view that people should drink small amounts of this on a daily basis. And that's what, you know,
is that product safe for people who are may have dairy intolerances if it's been treated that way?
Theoretically, there shouldn't be a problem because this is a highly processed substance. The casein has been removed, which is a protein molecule found in dairy, and also the lactose has been removed. So theoretically, it is fairly benign. It should be safe for people to take, but if they're really suspicious, they could start with a very small amount, or they could just try those other fermented foods, the kefirs, the kombuchas, and so on. They can make this at home, or they could buy this at a health food store. But all these things essentially do the same thing. They help to strengthen the gut flora, and at the same time, create a less hospitable environment for pathogenic bacteria and fungus.
So they're great for digestion.
Exactly.
Okay. And elimination. If your digestion is strong, is the elimination better, or how does that work?
Yeah, actually, there is some evidence to indicate that these weak acids act as a trigger for the smooth muscle, which is what the intestinal tract, both the small and large intestine, they're surrounded by smooth muscle, which is responds to involuntary impulses from the central nervous system. And the whole action is called peristalsis. So if a person is lacking good gut bacteria, that peristaltic action can be compromised in some people. And so for those people to take in fermented foods is a brilliant idea.
And so many choices. So we've got the digestion and elimination. What else do we need to do to keep that immune system strong?
Well, the mucous membranes... they say that we inhale, I believe it's 10,000 liters of air daily. And so there's these little hairs called cilia, membranes. And the sinuses are shaped kind of like a ladder, if you will. There's many steps to it. So the air is channeled through these steps. The air is getting filtered out. So we're looking at pollutants, dust, and bacteria, viruses. So keeping your mucous membranes, the back of your throat, moist and strong is very, very important. So beta-carotene plays a huge role. So, you know, the consumption of fruits and vegetables daily is very important.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, we're seeing very good results with nasal sprays, especially for people such as yourself in Prince George, where it could be minus 40 outside and very dry. You're inside your office, let's say, all day where it's nice and warm and relatively humid. Then you go out to your car to start it. In the 2 minutes that you're outside, that dry air, cold air, can affect your mucous membranes and make it pervious to the infiltration by bacteria and viruses. And that's how people get sick. So that's what the cold air is doing to our sinuses. And so eating properly and also taking these nasal sprays, there's one containing chamomile, which is very, very soothing. It helps to reinforce the mucous membranes. And there's hyaluronic acid, which is a constituent found in our cells. It gives cells their integrity. And also sodium, which is, we all know, it's an excellent substance, antibacterial.
Right.
And helps flush out my sinuses. So that is actually a very intelligent thing, especially when you could do something high risk, like getting onto an airplane.
Right. Oh, man, yeah. Okay, hold that thought, Don. We're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about keeping our immune system strong.